jewelry and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. I am here with two very special guests today. First, we have Sean Leahy of NBC Pro Hockey Talk. He is an amazing writer in the digital world, and I want to discuss that with him. Thank you so much for coming on.
Sure, no problem.
So first, I just want to ask, you really do a lot of great work. It's read by a lot of people on the internet. One thing that has been a trend in the journalism, especially the sports journalism world, has been the growing trend of the internet, as we all know. And I just want to ask, was it always your goal to make a living by writing on the internet, writing on blogs like Yahoo and NBC, or was it your goal to go into press, go into a more standard media field?
Well, I started writing online back in the late 90s after I got internet at home when I was in high school. And so it's kind of always what I've known and what I've done, you know, from having, you know, my own little blog that I just did and was read by like myself and my friends, and eventually being seen by Greg Wyshynski, who was starting up the Yahoo hockey blog back in 2008, and jumping on board with them for 9 years before transferring over to NBC this past summer.
Yeah, that's definitely great. On these two sites that you've that I've grown to know, your work has been Yahoo and NBC. And your work is just, it's great. It's read by a lot of people. It's very popular. I see it all over Twitter. I just want to ask, how good of a feeling is it to know that your work is being read by people all over the world?
Well, it's great feeling because, as you know, the internet has really made the world a smaller place. So you're not just writing for people in your area. You're writing for people around the country, around the continent, around the world. So it's great to write something and have it well-received and also have interactions with people from across the globe or just about hockey. So there's really nothing better than that.
Yeah, and speaking of this national and global attention, the Olympics right now is in full swing, and the hockey tournament, one that you have been covering extensively, is going to be one to remember just because the teams are very unusual this year. As we talked about on Destination Hockey on our radio show 3 weeks ago with Jared, the rosters this year are comprised of AHL players, international players, because Gary Bettman did not allow NHL players to make the trip to the Olympics, which was not well received by some players like Alex Ovechkin and others. But this, I feel like, has the potential to make the tournament even more interesting because upsets are always possible and you never know what can happen. So I'm just, from what you've seen covering it, do you think this has the potential to be one of the more interesting and entertaining Olympics we've seen?
Yeah. Certainly with no NHL players, it makes it quite interesting. There's plenty of players in the tournament that people will recognize, certainly on the Russian side. You know, Ilya Kovalchuk and Pavel Datsyuk are probably the biggest names, but then on the U.S. side, you have guys like Brian Gionta, James Wisniewski, who had long NHL careers. You had, in Sweden, you have Rasmus Dahlin, who's probably going to be the number one pick in the draft this June. So it allows the fans and the viewers to really kind of get to know some other players, because we know a lot about the NHL players, but these guys, each team has some unique stories on it, and you have guys like Noah Welch on the U.S. team who, 10 years ago, was one of the first athletes to pledge his brain for concussions research. You also have guys like Ryan Zapolsky, the goaltender, who started today against Slovenia. He's never had a sniff of the NHL. He spent a lot of time in the ECHL, played four teams in the ECHL at one point, and then moved over to Europe and had a great career over there. So, there's a lot of guys who maybe had a small taste or zero taste of the NHL in their careers, but have gone overseas or stayed over here in the minors and carved out some really nice hockey careers. So there's definitely plenty of stories to follow for these players, because every player has such a unique background and a unique story as to how they got to represent their country on a national stage. And up until April, when the NHL announced the decision, this opportunity wasn't even on the radar for guys. They weren't thinking that. They were all expecting the NHL to go. And you have a guy like Walchick Wolski as well, who broke his neck in two places a year and a half ago playing in a game in the KHL, and he worked his way back, and now he's representing Canada. So across every single roster, there's some unique stories and guys who have really put in the effort and hard work and had long careers, and now this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for them.
Yeah, the storylines are definitely opening up. In the NHL, some of the best stories in recent memory have been Andrew Hammond, Jeff Glass, all these goaltenders that have really grown as players coming up after no NHL experience and coming out as stars. And you could see that this year in the Olympics. For the Islanders, you have a prospect, Ilya Sorokin, and he could be a player who, if he really does well this year, he could see NHL, he could be convinced by the Islanders to come over. There's a lot of great talent. And the talent is very dispersed. You have upsets like Russia losing to Slovakia and Slovenia beating the United States, like these crazy upsets that would have never happened, 4 years ago, most likely. And now there's these great upsets happening. And the players on the team, you've touched on, I have in my notes, Noah Welch. He was a really inspirational story. He was one of the first players to pledge his brain to science. And then you have younger guys, to mix of veterans and young guys, like Troy Terry, the World Juniors hero from last year. And I just want to ask, how does the players, their different backgrounds, their perspective on the game, how does that contribute to each team's makeup and could really lead to an underdog winning the Olympics this year, the gold? Okay, so it looks like we might have lost him. Mr. Leahy is not responding, so it looks like we lost him. I'm not sure what happened. We had some technical difficulties going in, but I thought they were resolved, but it looks like he is gone. So basically, what I was going to ask was about the Olympics and the heroes that are coming on these teams. And really, you're seeing these players that have no NHL experience, that are players that aren't used to the national stage, and they're going to South Korea and they're watched by not all over their countries, all over the world in these amazing matchups. And this is something that could be stressful. This could be lead to different play from these players, and you're already seeing teams getting upset. A Russia team with Pavel Datsyuk and Ilya Kovalchuk has already lost to a younger Slovakia team. It's really crazy what's happening. And, you know, it's something we're never going to see for a while, especially if Bettman reverses his decision and decides to let the NHL players come in the future. This is something that you'll never see. And in hockey, the Olympics and the World Juniors, these are really great events. And this year on Destination Hockey, we will cover it. You know, this is a different Olympics. This is something you don't usually see. And it's really interesting to see how it's going to play out this year. And one thing I also wanted to talk about with Mr. Leahy was the NHL defensive trade market, because some of these players who would have been in the Olympics are now at home and playing, and there are trades going down. If the players were at the Olympics, the trade deadline would have been pushed back. The season would have been pushed back. But instead, you're seeing players like Dion Phaneuf and Marian Gaborik, two ex-NHL stars who are struggling in as they grow older. You know, they're getting traded. They're getting swapped. Two bad contracts. And the defensive market is clearly showing to be weak. The Kings had to absorb a terrible contract of $7.5 million a year. They had to retain 75% of that. And they're getting Dion Phaneuf as their defensive to solve their defensive issues this year. Is that what they wanted going in? I doubt it. So there's a lot of things going on with them. The Islanders are going to be active on the trade market. I know that for a fact. So you're going to see a lot of things happening with the NHL trade market. And I think Mr. Leahy, who has done amazing work for NHL Pro Hockey Talk, would have had a lot to say with that. Unfortunately, we lost him. We had some phone issues, and it's a shame. But what we did get to discuss with him was great, and I'm really happy I was able to have that opportunity to talk to him. So if you're listening still, Mr. Leahy, thank you so much for coming on. And we will take a short commercial break and be right back with Neil Best of Newsday.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today. at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. We are here with our second guest of the evening, Neil Best. Neil Best is a great Newsday reporter, and I just want to first congratulate you on winning the New York State Sports Writer of the Year Award, which is a tremendous honor. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. Just don't tell them I live in New Jersey.
Oh, I won't. I saw the number you sent me, and I recognized that area code immediately. I was very happy to see that, so that was cool.
It's a New York State paper, so I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I think you're good. But I just want to – it's amazing that you won that award, and I'm very honored to speak to you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so I just want to first talk about winning an award like that really shows that you have been able to adapt to the changing sports journalism world, which has really been changing in the past. Newspapers and magazines are falling in favor of digital and online articles. And we just spoke with Sean Leahy, the head of NBC at Pro Hockey Talk. And he is only done, he's younger, and he has only done, you know, electronic writing. He's only done the internet. He hasn't even had experience with newspaper. And he's been an extreme success in his field, which is really interesting. And since you've started at Newsday, you've been able to see this. And I just want to ask, how has this change affected you personally?
It's funny you mentioned Sean. Last week, I was sitting next to him. I'd never met him, but I was sitting next to him at a career day at Smithtown East High School on Long Island. So actually, we bonded. I always tell people in the business that even though it's been a tough time for job security and that sort of thing, it's certainly been a fascinating, 35 years to be in this business because I've seen all evolution. I mean, from writing literally my first daily newspaper, which was in college, was on writing on a typewriter. And, so things have changed. But, you do have to adapt like with any business. So, yeah, I think I've done okay with that in terms of like, the blog, 10 years ago now, social media, and just kind of changing with the times. But the core mission of journalism really hasn't changed since I started or since 100 years ago, which is roughly when I started. You're trying to tell people stuff that they should know and do it in a fair and accurate way, and you do that by building relationships with people and kind of keeping up with what's going on. And so most of the job really hasn't changed. It's just sort of the mechanics of it have changed, but the basic job really hasn't changed.
Yeah, it's really been, you're still, the idea is to get your voice heard in a, ethically, you got to stay clean. You can't, there's still rules in place. It's not just a free-for-all out there. And, you see people posting things that they shouldn't on social media, which has had some consequences for people. But the good journalists, they stay clean and they really stick to what the essence of journalism is, which is reporting, reporting the facts, giving their opinions and informing, the masses. So that's the great part about journalism, even though things have changed. And you had a great education at a school like Cornell, which I have friends going there, which is, it's amazing when a kid gets into a school like Cornell. So that was a great education. And I just want to ask, did that prepare you for, the career at Newsday that you've had, the successful one?
I'm actually having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I don't know if you have a volume thing you could turn up or something, but I mean, I heard you enough to answer, but I'm having a little trouble. Cornell does not have a journalism major. Well, it didn't when I was there. I think it still doesn't have a journalism major. It did have a communications major, but so my education there was more sort of broad in terms of classes. I mean, I was a history major, but I did work for the Cornell Daily Sun, which was my first, daily newspaper, and that was certainly an education. And I mean, it continues to be for people there today, even though I think they only print 3 days a week now, not five like we did. But, that was a great experience. I intentionally did not cover Cornell hockey because I wanted to be a fan, and I didn't want to have to be working for Cornell hockey games. But I did do some sports there. And, you sort of meet interesting people. And, of course, I have alumni friends who are in the business who have, sort of bonded over that. People like, Keith Olbermann, Jeremy Schapp, there's a lot of Cornell alums in the media, but more of my Cornell Sun friends went to law school than to journalism. But anyway, that was certainly a good part of my journalism education.
Yeah, and sorry about the volume. We lost Mr. Leahy. I don't know what happened, but we were in the middle of an interview. He was talking and he stopped. So I'm having technical difficulties here, but I'm going to try to work through it. And I just raised the volume a lot. Hopefully it's not too loud.
No, now I hear you fine.
Okay, great. Okay. Great. So I'm glad I fixed that. But, you know, I actually have a website called driveforfive.blog, and we blog about the Islanders, and we had a writer for us, who is a communications major at Cornell. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he was with us for a while. He was one of our best writers. You know, you could tell he was really getting taught well, and he actually had to leave because he was offered an internship. He's getting too busy, which I'm really happy for him that he's able to move on to bigger and better things.
Well, even though I didn't cover Cornell hockey, that was sort of, led directly to my first job, because when I was working as a part-timer at Newsday right out of school, and then my first and only full-time job other than at Newsday was at the Anchorage Times in Anchorage, Alaska. And the reason they hired me is partly because they thought it was cool I was working at Newsday, even though I was just a part-timer. But secondly, they knew that I knew and cared about college hockey because of Cornell. And so their main beat there was University of Alaska at Anchorage Hockey, which I guess it still is. So my Cornell hockey fan background kind of led them to hire me because college hockey was really important to them.
That's really cool how that kind of works itself out. And one thing that I do want to discuss with you is just something that is, I've been amazed with it. It's been something that is crazy, and it's really happened fast. You see websites and apps like Bleacher Report, you know, they really rose to fame. You see, you know, ESPN, you know, like they had Disney backed by them, but, you know, Bleacher Report was the main one that really rose quickly and, you know, was, you know, the digital world, the new digital world. But one thing that has just blown my mind recently is The Athletic. And I just want to discuss that quickly because I was adamant that I would not buy an Athletic subscription. I didn't want to pay $5 a month, which is what they charge. And then Arthur Staple, who was actually worked at Newsday, jumped ship there. And now I'm like, they're really doing things. They're doing things interesting there. And they're taking their whole mindset is to take the best people that fans have grown attached to, bring them to them. And that, you know, stimulates their subscriptions and gets people to come over. And I just want to ask, how have you, I saw you tweet about this and you said you support them, even though they, I think you said brats or something, which I found so funny because they really,
well, they want to destroy Newsday.
Yeah. I don't even think they said destroy. They said like the exact diction was like burn it down or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And I just want to ask, how do you feel about what they're doing over there? And do you think that could be a threat to, the newspaper and magazine and, you know, even digital journalism?
Well, I mean, look, obviously there are competition. So in that sense, we want to beat them journalistically. However, in a business terms, I hope they succeed because I hope everybody succeeds. And first of all, they've already taken our Islanders and Mets writer. They've taken a lot of good people around the country, and good for them. You know, if they're offering more, better deal, more money, I don't know exactly what they're offering, but it's obviously appealing to a lot of experienced journalists. And as you said, the people they're hiring are not a bunch of guys just sitting around repurposing other people's material for clickbait like a lot of sites work. I mean, these are experienced journalists out there, you know, actually talking to people and, you know, doing it the old-fashioned way. So, yeah, I definitely want them to succeed, but I also want us to keep succeeding, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting to see, as you said, whether people are willing to pay for that privilege. Now, the Islanders are a very interesting case because if you're a Mets fan, you know, Mark Carrig, who's gone there from Newsday, well, I guess he's doing more Yankees. But the point is, if you're talking about a team like the Mets, you have many places to go for your Mets coverage other than the Athletic. Now, in the case of the Islanders, Newsday obviously will continue to cover the Islanders thoroughly, and Arthur will do it for them. So that's two, and only two publications that are covering them thoroughly. So, you know, that might be more of an incentive to subscribe to the Athletic if you're a big Islanders fan, just because you don't have that many places to go other than Newsday. So I don't know. The whole thing's fascinating. I don't know if it'll work. I mean, I'm skeptical just because I've been around forever and remember the National, 30 years ago. I hope they succeed. I just hope they don't destroy us in the process like they claim they're going to do, which I do not think is going to happen.
Yeah, they're definitely cocky over there, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, it's not a bad
thing. You got to be confident and cocky to make it as a startup.
Exactly.
I hope it works. I definitely hope it works.
Yeah, and I was just what you said about the Islanders, I want to discuss the Islanders in a little bit. But one thing that was, is just really cool is I was at the Islanders game on Friday, the historic comeback against Detroit.
Oh, that was an
unbelievable
game.
And what I was doing half the third period was I was outside section 212 waiting for a whistle to talk to Arthur Staple. And because he tweeted out he'd be in section 212, I messaged him and I wanted to meet him because I've talked to him a lot on my old podcast, which I will be playing a clip from later. I have to leave the show early after this interview, but I'm playing a clip from the podcast, and Arthur Staple was a frequent visitor on there. He's really been a role model, and I wanted to introduce myself. But there were three people in the Islanders like press box. Like, it was Arthur Staple, it was a guy like texting the whole time, and another guy like sitting in a row, and that was it. And just showing that the Islanders, it's Newsday. Newsday is, I always go to Newsday first for the, you know, Islanders news, maybe a New York Post here and there, New York Times, but really it's Newsday, and the Athletic is really trying to get, you know, dip its foot, and eventually they're really going to try to take over the market of these, not small town, but, you know, these markets that don't really have too much competition.
Well, if you think the press box looks crazy at an Islanders home game, you should be on the. I've been on the road with the Islanders. Oh. The Newsday reporter is very lonely in his section of the press box. Let's put it that way. And you walk in the room, and it's just it's a very unusual experience for a New York sports writer to walk into a locker room of a New York team and be literally alone. I mean, that just doesn't happen with any other team, so it's weird. But yeah, look, I mean, obviously Arthur will do a good job for them, just like he did for us. But we will also hire someone who will also do a good job, mm-hmm. and Newsday will cover that team, you know, more thoroughly. I believe will continue to cover it more thoroughly and better than anybody else, including the Athletic. But, you know, obviously there's room for two places that cover the Islanders well, so that's fine.
Yeah, and specifically with the Islanders, in January you had an opportunity to be on the Islanders beat, which was must have been an interesting experience because the Islanders Twitter and Islanders fan base is definitely a crazy one, and recently
been
crazy.
Yes. Well, first of all, I went to the morning skate. I did a tweet basically saying, I am following the island in charge of the Islanders like today. I did not say like permanently, like just this day. And by noon, I had like 300 new followers just because people are that hungry for Islanders information, which is awesome. That's why whoever we hire has to be. It's a unique position at Newsday, and you really have to be able and willing to engage with those fans like Arthur did to you got to be able to handle it. Again, it's with the other beats, you know, you're one of five, six, seven people governing the team. It's just a different dynamic.
Yeah, and recently, I'm not sure if you heard. If not, I will inform you on what he said. But last night in a press conference, basically, the Islanders press conferences post-game with Doug Weight have become must-watch because the team usually goes out, loses a huge game, and then Doug Weight goes and smirks through an interview and says some questionable things. And last night he claimed that, and I'm not going to embellish it, some people said he blamed the crowd for the loss, but he basically said the crowd and the atmosphere needs to be better, and he's hoping that Thursday against the Rangers, which is tomorrow, that the atmosphere will be better. And fans went berserk. And it was just a crazy thing to see them turning on their coach, which hasn't happened since, you know, Jack Capuano went through that bad stretch in December of his final season. I just want to ask, how do you think the reaction of Islanders fans there, how do you feel about that? Was it justified? How do you feel?
Well, I mean, you know, his criticism was a little bit oblique. But, I mean, as a general rule, coaches and players should totally stay away from blaming fans for lack of enthusiasm or lack of buying tickets. I mean, that's just something that's totally a no-win situation. I've seen a lot of players and coaches do it over the years. It never is a good idea. The only thing that's weird in this case is the Islanders fans themselves complain about, that's not the greatest place. Obviously, most Islanders fans are happy they're going back to, you know, to Belmont, and they've complained about the Barclays Center. So he's not the only person who's ever made that point, but obviously you just can't do it. I mean, these people pay a lot of money to go to those games, and if you choose to not be – look, as a sports fan myself, back before I was a jaded old sports writer, when I was just a fan, I went to games because I just kind of like watching the games, and it took something really out of the the ordinary, like Game 6 of the 86 World Series, to cause me to actually, like, stand up and yell. I just like to watch the game, and you can't tell people how to spend their what to do when they've spent their money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's a bad look. I like Doug Wade a lot. I think he's the best media.
I saw
that. I think he's the most media-friendly coach in New York right now, now that Terry Collins is gone. But, yeah, you got to stay away. You totally have to stay away from that.
Yeah.
And that goes for journalists, too, by the way. We can criticize coaches and players, but you as a sports writer, you start complaining about what people do who've paid to mm-hmm. get into that game. I mean, no, you can't do it.
Yeah,
you shouldn't do it.
You can't. And Jim Bomback, I had on the show last week, and he's a coworker of yours. He's a great person to talk to, and he has done a fabulous textbook example job of, you know, he's not going after the fans, by no means is he, but he has to cover this arena situation, and he has done a great job of giving neutral perspective about how it's difficult for fans to get to Barclays and how the Coliseum is a good option, but he's giving the facts. He's making fans, you know, he's letting fans make their own decision about this, and I really respect what he's done, because without him, we would be, Islanders fans think they have no idea what's going on with their arena, but without Jim Bomback, I mean, we'd have absolutely no idea. So it was great to speak to him.
First of all, Jim and people on our news, you know, news reporters have done a great job of following that saga over the last many years. And selfishly, I'm really, really happy that Jim has done that so I don't have to, because that is
that's
just one of those jobs that journalists, most journalists, I'll speak for myself, I want no part of, just because it's so convoluted and endless and hassle.
Political.
And I'm very happy for our readers that Jim has done a good job in that story, and I'm very happy for me that it wasn't me who's had to cover that story.
Yeah, that was fascinating. Just every day. I mean, he really rose to fame, though. Basically, I casually read his articles, and then next thing I know, I'm turning on NHL Network at 5 o'clock, coming home from practice, and he is like, he's the main person they're talking to on NHL Network about the Islanders arena situation. And he did a great interview.
Well, I mean, it's similar to the team itself. I mean, the other media entities are going to cover that story, or should cover that story. But, you know, that Newsday can, and Newsday does and should own that story. I mean, that's our thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's easy to say that, but someone still has to do it. And, yeah, Jim's done a good job with that. I guess it's still not over, obviously.
Definitely.
But, I mean, the basics of it are now laid out for the next 3 years, and we'll see how it evolves.
Yeah, and I was emailing Jim after I thanked him for the interview, and, like, it changed. As we were doing the show, it changed. The Islanders were supposed to have 12 regular season games the first year. They switched to 13, and we were, like, texting back and forth, basically, is that 13th game regular season? Is it preseason? It's unconfirmed. You know, even he doesn't know. And it's
right.
Just this whole situation, it's changing, and he's going to continue to be covering it, which Islanders fans, you obviously, we're all very thankful for.
Yeah, no, and as I said, you know, we're going to have a new writer. I'm not in position to say when this person, he or she, will take over. I hope, again, for selfish reasons, it's as soon as possible. we'll hire somebody good. Tomorrow night, I'm the columnist at the Islanders-Rangers game. I think Anthony Reber and I are going because, you know, we literally have no hockey writer now because Steve Zappe left us also. So we're, for the next little while, we're trying to cover the Rangers and Islanders by committee. And, you know, we have the people to do it, but of course it's different when you have that official beat writer. It's a different dynamic when you have people like me who are going, who, I mean, I know about hockey, but I'm far from an expert on either of those teams.
Yeah, and one thing that you have done, which has been really cool, is probably helped you contribute to winning your New York State Sports Writer of the Year award, but you aren't just a sports writer. You cover business, you cover politics, you really cover it all. St. John's beat, Islanders beat, you're on all these different beats, and you really do a lot. How has that helped you, you know, maintain success in a field that really you need to be a complete person, you need to be a complete journalist if you're going to succeed?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing is it's helped me stay sane. Also, let's say fresh, because, you know, I could have stayed on I did the Giants for 10 years, and that beat you really can do forever because the lifestyle is so good compared to baseball, you know, with the one game a week. You have a normal life, basically. But, you know, after 10 years, I thought it was time to change. So even though I've been at the same paper for 32 years, I've changed assignments, which keeps me fresh. And even like the sports business and media, which was my main job from 05 to 15, basically, now it's still part of my job, but not my only job. So, you know, for example, tomorrow, well, yeah, I'm covering an Islanders game like a normal sports writer. I'm not doing a media story. So I'm all over the place, which is good. And like you said, it kind of makes you a more well-rounded person and journalist when you have all these varied experiences. And by the way, hockey is an interesting, you know, when it comes to a situation like we're in now where we're basically filling in on two different hockey beats, that one of the challenges for the editors is that a lot of sports writers feel comfortable with football, baseball, basketball, and a lot of them are, you know, less familiar with hockey, so they're a little reluctant to be dropped in because it's hard when you don't know what's going on. So the people who know and like hockey are that much more valuable because, yeah, you can tell me or, not just me, Mark Herman, Laura Albanese, a lot of our people, hey, you know, we need you to go deal with the Rangers game tonight and have us not, like, freak out, not like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do, you know, I don't understand the icing, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if, you know, what you've been doing is great. I've loved reading all of Newsday's stuff, and it's really great. If you ever get too tired, I'm available to, you know, take over at Newsday if you're interested. I'm 18, but I think I can handle it. But if you ever...
I think our editor was looking for a little more experience than the Islanders beat. But you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I hope. That's the goal. The radio show's been great. I think, you know, this is enough, I think. But if you ever, you know, being the beat writer would be, that'd be really cool. But
yeah, well, I don't know who he's hiring for these beats, but on the one hand, you want people with experience. On the other hand, if you get relatively young people with experience, then that obviously is a bonus just because they might be around longer and, you know, that kind of thing. But
yeah.
I know that our editor is moving quickly on Rangers, Islanders, Mets because, I mean, I've been at Newsday forever, and there's no way we've had three beats open simultaneously, like in the history of the paper. This is kind of a weird situation. Thanks largely to The Athletic, but, you know, by a couple months from now, it'll all be sorted out, and we'll just go on like we always do.
Yep, it'll be great. Newsday is great with that. I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I'd love to stay in touch with you. It has been great to talk to you about Newsday, about The Athletic, about everything that has contributed to your success in the journalism field. So thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy tonight, and I hope I didn't keep you too long.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'll hope to talk to you soon. Bye. Thanks.
Okay,
so that was Neil Best of Newsday. He has had amazing success in his field, and he really is someone that is fun to talk to. He's fun to read. So check him out on Twitter. We will definitely be tweeting about him on our Twitter, Drive for 5, and it was just fun to talk to him. So right now we have something interesting. I have a basketball game. It's the playoffs. And I am unfortunately not able to finish up the show because I got the game. So I have a clip where I interviewed Alan Hahn on my old podcast, the Drive for 5 podcast. And I'm telling you right now, this podcast was so much fun. It really was something crazy. And we were just able to talk, say whatever we want, just discuss everything. And it was really cool. So right now we're going to briefly pause for commercial and then I'm going to talk... then I'm going to play a clip, and in this clip, we're talking about Rick DiPietro, who is an Islanders old goaltender, and his success as a radio personality, and we're discussing that with Alan Hahn, who was an old Islanders beat writer, a Knick beat writer, and he does great work on MSG. So basically, that's what we have planned for the next 15 minutes. It's not live. This is from last year, so enjoy and just listen to the improvement. Hopefully, I've improved, because from the podcast to the radio, it's a different ball game, but it's a lot of fun. So we'll be right back after a short commercial.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. Welcome. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Here on the air is who he really is. That's his personality. That's not a character. That's not an act. That's who he really is, and that's what I think what's so good about it. It's genuine.
Yeah,
that's
his
personality.
I've met him. After I was sitting outside of the Newark, the Devil's Arena, and I'm with a friend who I live in Western New Jersey. No one likes hockey, so I'm with my friend who I have two kids who like hockey in my school, two in a school of 1,600. So I'm with one of my friends who doesn't. I treated him to the ticket. He came along for the ride, and we're sitting outside, and we're like, "Dude, I want to wait outside the media room." And he's like, "No, we got to get the train." I'm like, "We'll take the next train. I just want to sit outside the media room. And I just want to wait here." And I don't know why, but I just wanted to because, you know, I didn't want to make the train. I don't know. I felt safe in Newark, which I was lucky. I didn't get mugged. But I'm just sitting there, and DiPietro walks out. First of all, he was probably – I don't know if you can comment on this. He might have been the only person I saw who drove himself. It was such a weird thing because he got to a car in the parking lot, and it looked like he drove when everyone else was getting rides. So Butch Goring came out. And all these people came out. They all had cars waiting for them. He drove himself. But, you know, I got...
Well, was this last season?
This was last season. It was...
Yeah. I can explain why. He came straight from the show.
Oh, really? That's funny.
He did the radio show. He was probably done. And, you know, so then you can't go home. You can't go back to Long Island and go to Newark. So he killed some time in the city and then drove to Newark. And then drove himself home. That's why.
Well, that's some behind-the-scenes info. Yeah, so he got in his car.
Go. And
I didn't. Yeah, that's good. Look at me. I'm already getting answers out of everyone. Look at me. So that was really cool. I introduced myself to him. He said that was some game, and then I didn't ask him for an autograph or a picture. I don't know why. He just was like, there was. Whenever I see a famous person, I always ask for an autograph or a picture. But there was just something out of him that he was such a personable person that I forgot to ask him. I was like, he was so friendly that it was almost like I was talking to my friend who was sitting next to me and not Rick DiPietro. And I forgot to ask him for a picture, you know, 30-second conversation, forgot to ask him. You know, I asked
him. I'm sure you can work that out. I'm sure that's not going to be a problem. You'll see him at Barclays this year, I'm sure. You'll be able to
I've already gotten pictures with him, but I don't know. I like, you know, keeping a tab. But it was really funny. He's the nicest guy, and working with him must be such a treat. He's such a good, you know, a nice person on air, and he's really...
Yeah, it's been, like I said, it's been fun. It's wild. It's, you know, we laugh. I mean, if you've ever heard the show, like, which is, you know, one joke after another, you get away with nothing. Like, it's total locker room stuff. It's really a lot of fun. It's actually, that's how it is. I mean, that's how it is when you know, Chris Canty's the same way. Mm-hmm. You're a reporter, you go into a locker room, and that's what you're going to deal with. You're going to deal with, you know, there'll be some wise-ass answers, there'll be some serious answers. There'll be, you know, there's cracks on what you look like and your wardrobe and, you know, that stuff. And then there's, you know, there's give and take, and you just learn to enjoy it, you know. And that's a window into really what it's like, you know, because there's some members of the media, I'll be honest with you, that don't get that. Mm-hmm. You know, they take themselves so seriously. They don't really know how to interact with players, and you know, it's really awkward. But if you understand that, it's, you know, it's more relationship building. Like I said at the very beginning of the conversation,
you learn that,
and you respect, and then be respected, everything else just kind of falls into place, and it becomes less of a job and more of a passion.
Yeah, it definitely seems like you have a passion for it. That's obviously apparent. the experiences that you have, I mean, have spanned a lifetime. It's so cool. So I think we have, you know, I have just one more question. And we do, you know, we want to talk about DiPietro and all these experiences all night. But, I mean, we do, what are we at? We're at 49 minutes, which is our longest interview ever. It felt like 5 minutes, but this is pretty crazy. Thank you. So,
Let's do it.
Yeah, you want to break the record? It's funny because I'm distracted because we're on a Skype call, as I told you earlier, and Harris and Jared are putting pictures of them and DiPietro up to the camera. So that's really funny. It's distracting, but it's funny.
You know what I need to know, though? I need to know if Jared or Harris has fish sticks.
Do you guys have fish sticks?
If you don't have fish sticks, then I don't know. How could you even possibly do a podcast about the Islanders?
Do you guys have fish sticks?
Who has fish sticks?
I don't have physical fish sticks, but I got a fish stick Gorton's Fisherman Islander logo hanging up in my room.
No, you're out. You're already out.
Bye, Harris.
Bringing that one up. So none of you have the book Fish Sticks?
No.
This is crushing. All right, so we already have homework. You have an assignment.
Okay.
I don't even know where you can find it anymore because it hasn't been in publication in about 10 years. But you have to now find that book and read it because I wrote it with Peter Boddy. And it's all about those years. It's basically a history of the franchise up until like the 2004 season, right before the lockout, and all the madness that ensued. And there's some stories in there that, I mean, you know, you're going to be hysterical laughing. You'll probably be like crying at times, and you'll be outraged as well. But if you're an Islanders fan and you don't have that book, then no, that's your catch you up. That book catches you up. That's the book you give, like, to guys, like, in your generation. Because, you know, you guys know about the history from banners and grainy photos. But that book tells you the stories and the behind the scenes. All the stuff that I'm telling you on this, like, that times 10 is in the book.
Wow.
So you've got to find that book. That's your assignment. You got to find that book. And you also got to make sure you've seen Big Shot, the 30 for 30.
We have seen that.
So somebody owns the DVD of Big Shot? Anyone?
Well, I mean, we have Netflix.
You have Netflix. All right, so it's on Netflix. So,
yeah.
Well, that means you own it. Technically you own it. So you've seen it.
Yes, we have seen that.
Okay.
That's an interesting one.
All right, there you go.
I mean,
I got to be honest with you, some of my best work.
Really? Yeah, okay.
I'm kidding. But no, like, those are the things that I think are valuable because, you know, I always feel like if you understand the history of a franchise, you have a better understanding of why things are happening in today. Like, I do this with the Jets. Like, I do this with the Knicks a lot. It's the same kind of thing. Like, why are these franchises like this? Why are the Yankees like the Yankees? Just do your history, and you'll know. So there's so much in fish sticks that will explain everything that's even happening right now.
Wow.
You'll be like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah, so.
You know, it'll give you the historical reference that is way better than anything you learn in school.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we could learn that. I actually wanted to do an Islanders book for my summer reading. And if I remember, I did look at this book. And I think it was like $35 or something. So
what?
I didn't buy it. It was
$35.
Yeah, it was expensive. I just found it on Barnes & Noble.
I found it on Amazon, and it happens to be like, the lowest price is $30.
Yeah, see?
I'm sold from.
You're making a lot of money.
It's collector's
item. Yeah. Version on Amazon, which is pretty cool.
I'm sure you could probably find a used version or maybe even go to a library.
Whoa.
Now, there's a lot of really bad language in it, so it might not be in a library.
Oh, we're fine. You want to hear bad language? I hate to rat out Jared, but I'm going to right now because you will be so mad at him. Me and Harris know what, you know, Harris and I, we've watched a 30 for 30. Jared doesn't even know what 30 for 30 is.
No, I know what 30 for 30 is. I've never seen that episode.
Okay. He just, we have the Skype chat on the side. He said, oh my God, what's the 30 for 30?
Well,
and then we called
true.
Him an idiot.
I've watched many 30 for 30s.
Right,
I've never
more,
seen
more assignments for you. You've got it. Kevin Connolly produced it. I mean, he narrated and produced it. It's really good.
Wow.
And again, it also gives you some history of the franchise, but not much. But then the whole John Spano story, which is, you know, I mean, that the whole thing is outrageous. But again, Fish Sticks gives you, it catches you up. It gives you everything you want. I also wrote Birth of the Dynasty, which is about the 1980 Stanley Cup year. And the build up to that, how they all. that team up before they won, and you know, a lot of behind the scenes from that very first Stanley Cup, you know, a franchise that was 9 years old. So, you know, that's another good one, too. And I'm not getting commission on these books anymore, so it's not like I'm trying to make money off you boys. I'm just trying to help you, you know, get some historical reference.
I actually just looked it up on Amazon specifically, and it's actually not $30. So everyone listening to this, look up Fish Sticks, The Fall and Rise of the New York Islanders, and it's $12.75 on Amazon. Everyone should go and read it. I'm actually going to buy a copy right after we get off of this call.
Wow.
Yes. Well, that one for sure. That one for sure. In fact, I just did an updated epilogue of that book that I think they're going to re-release sometime in the fall.
Ooh, that's cool.
But you're not missing much. It's just basically the epilogue is just catching you up from what, you know, what's happened over the last 10 years. So you guys have lived all that. You don't
need it. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, we post these podcasts on SoundCloud, and we have the analytics. And usually, you know, when we had Staple on, we had Graziano on, we actually got 1,000 on the Staple interview. But you have the analytics of every 10 minutes how many viewers you have. And you start off with 1,000, you go down to 900, and by the time you're at 30 minutes, you know, you're at 200 or 100. And I have a feeling this one's going to be a straight line, because this has been pure. I mean, this is amazing.
Well, Staples probably gave you some trade rumors. He probably told you some stuff going on with the current roster. I mean, he didn't ask me anything about the current team. You know, I spent some time with Doug.
We got carried away.
You know,
we got scared
with some of the guys the last couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we were going to ask about that, but we have a questions list of 10 questions. We got to 4. So that's – I have it printed out right now. We have a little off topic. What was it like to report the LeBron James rumor being first? We have – what was it like to be a fantasy camp? We have all that, but I mean.
Okay. Well, the LeBron, I'll tell you in 10 seconds, the LeBron James thing, I didn't sleep a wink that night because the last call I got that night, because I put that up, I think, around 11 o'clock, and the last call I got was one of his guys threatening me, saying, you know, he always changes his mind. And
wow.
I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, well, good. Maybe he'll change his mind and come to New York, and then it's a win-win anyway. And it ended up being where obviously it stayed accurate, and he ended up going to Miami. So that I didn't sleep a wink that night. I was just bleary-eyed at the press conference, and then when it happened, I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Even though I was really disappointed that he wasn't coming to New York. And I actually had Knicks fans calling me out, telling me that they hated me, and they would never follow me again on Twitter because, you know, of me reporting something like that, which I don't know why you would feel that I would make that up just to make you feel bad. So that's that.
Yeah, but
as far as the fantasy camp goes, it was both equal parts embarrassing and yet so much fun. Catching up with guys I covered. Mark Parrish was a guy I really was really close with, and it's great to see him and Sean Bates and, you know, guys like Karen, so Snowy a little bit. Some of the legends that were there. Billy Smith was literally on the ice. He played defense. And I swear in one of the scrimmages.
Yeah, I watched that clip. The referee.
Too quickly,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And then he said, play on, play on. He flipped out on the official. Like, I mean, lost it, screaming at him. Like, it was so funny to see him get all fired up, yelling at the referee. It was great.
Yeah,
but
I watched that.
Doug Waite, I'm telling you right now, I was so impressed with him, not during the fantasy camp stuff, but he did a chalk talk, and he's explaining some of the stuff that he's trying to do, and the way he was interacting, the way he was describing the system that they want to play and how they want to play, you know, I was blown away by just his ability to not just break the game down and discuss it, but is also just how comfortable he was in front of a room, how he kept it light so you were engaged. You know, you weren't bored to tears. And I've sat in on many, you know, chalk talk situations with coaches, and there's some that just bore you to tears.
Oh, yeah.
There's others that you can just tell they don't really know what they're talking about. And then there's Doug Waite. I'm really high on Doug Waite. I think they've got themselves a great hire. And I'm just dying to see what he does now with this team, especially with the addition of Eberle and, you know, obviously getting JT signed up and getting him comfortable and getting guys healthy. Could be a really interesting year. I think the power play is going to be a lot better. So I'm pretty damn excited about it, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, we have all this stuff. We wanted to ask you about, you know, some of the trades, but I think the followers, you know, they could hear that, you know, us talking about it. We do live streams. They could hear that. I mean, this is where the interest is. This was so cool. So I think, you know, we're at an hour to all of our listeners who stayed through this, as I'm sure many more did than usual. Thank you so much for listening. It was an amazing talk with an amazing mentor, an amazing person who, I mean, has some amazing stories to tell. So hopefully you guys were intrigued by this, and hopefully you guys stay tuned for some more interviews. We have some players lined up. We are in contact with two players right now, and we're excited to premiere those podcast episodes in a few weeks. So with that, guys, I'm David. I'm here with Jared and Harris and Alan Hahn, and I just want to thank him, and I want to thank everyone for listening to a great episode. So thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Dry for Five podcast. And as always, let's go, Islanders!